When people first come to see me, they expect a lecture. I do not give lectures. I am not a philosopher. I am not a preacher. All of the reasons you came to see me are wrong. I can do absolutely nothing for you. What I usually do is make my confession to myself. And since there's one self, everybody's included. I speak in the first person. When I use the terms I or I am not referring to Robert. I'm referring to consciousness. Consciousness is omnipresent. This means that all of you are included when I use the words I am. So, I confess that I am not the body or the mind principle. I confess that I am not the doer, but that I am absolute reality. I am ultimate oneness, pure intelligence, emptiness, nirvana. I am unborn, and I do not disappear. And in the term between life and death, I do not prevail. I am nothingness, emptiness, Satchitananda. Para Brahman. I am that I am. That is my confession to you. And that is your confession to me. There is one consciousness. One Brahman. One ultimate reality. As I make my confession to you, remember I'm not speaking about Robert. I'm speaking of oneness, of the ultimate reality, of nothingness, emptiness. I am that I am. Satchitananda, pure awareness, the ultimate oneness, I, which is consciousness, was never born, and consciousness can never die. This realization transcends all your karmas. To be aware of this alone emancipates you, makes you free now. To be aware of this is to be this. So again, I do not give talks, I do not give lectures, I am not a philosopher, I am not a preacher, I am nothing. If you came here to expect some teaching, you will go away disappointed because you have nothing to teach. Again, I confess to you that I am is not the body-mind principle, nor the doer, nor the world, nor God. I am is consciousness. Consciousness is the self. The self is self-contained, projecting and manifesting this world and this universe.
Bed is fine for anyone to sit on the bed.
If you like to sing, "Oh God, Beautiful."
It was the first chant I ever learned 30 some years ago.
Mm.
And that in the Temple of Silence.
Mm.
Yeah.
Last Thursday we were talking about the self as consciousness. And after about an hour into it, I finally confessed that in the ultimate reality, there is no self and there is no consciousness. And some people became perplexed, because just as they were beginning to discover the self, I come and tell them there's no self. Now, what does this mean? We'll follow through on it. The self exists as long as you believe you're not self-realized. Does a self-realized person need a self? Does a self-realized person talk about consciousness? Needs consciousness? Or Brahman? Or Parabrahman? Or Satchitananda? Those are words, those are concepts. As long as you are believing in concepts, words, preconceived ideas, this will halt your progress. Reality is beyond words. Reality is in the silence. Really, the only thing you have to do is to quiet your mind. Make your mind quiescent. And reality will shine forth all by itself. But if you go around repeating like a parrot, I am the self, I am consciousness, I am ultimate reality, it will actually keep you back. I tell you the truth. It's better to say nothing. The reason I express these words is to make you understand that there is something else besides your bodily experiences. There's something else besides your everyday occurrences. And that is called the self. The self is merely a self-contained self, projecting and manifesting the universe and the world. You are that self. And the reason the universe and the world exists is because you exist. It's being emanated through you. You are the projectionist. The entire universe is a projection of your mind. So, if there's no mind, everything becomes the self. Then you can confess, oh, this is the self and I am that. But until that happens, the best thing you can do is to speak very little. The best thing you can do is to dive deep within yourself and discover your true nature. This can be done at any time. When you get caught up in the world, for instance, simply ask yourself, who is it that's caught up in the world? And be truthful, say, I am. And go further and ask yourself, where did the I come from? What is this I? How did it originate? What is its cause? Follow the I, abide in the I, and you will soon come to the conclusion that I does not exist. You will soon come to the conclusion that you are infinite space. And instead of observing objects in the world, you will observe the space that the object seems to be glued onto. It's like a little kid's cutout book. A little kid gets a piece of paper cuts out a picture of his son, pastes it on the paper. Cuts out a picture of a tree, pastes it on the paper. Cuts out a picture of a man, pastes it on the paper. And you become objects. And the little kid is interested in the objects. But where would the objects be without the paper? The paper is the reality of the objects. And when the kid gets tired of playing with those objects, he simply unpeels the sun and puts the moon in its place. Takes away the clouds and pastes up stars in its place. Takes away the man and puts a woman in its place. Takes away the tree and puts grass and mountains. But did the paper change? The paper is still the same. And so it is with us. We appear to be mortals going through various experiences in the world. There appears to be a sky, planets, stars, others. But I say to you in truth that these are all false. Only the space is real. The space never changes, but everything else does. Therefore, how can anything that changes be real? Now, some of you may ask, what good is this teaching? Is it practical? What can it do for me? And I say to you, are you really happy? Do you have unchanging happiness in your life? Do you have peace? Real peace. Most of us do not even understand what happiness and peace are. We think that happiness ensues when we get things to go our way. How long does that last? As you well know from experience, things change. The only thing permanent in this life is change. If your happiness depends on a person, place, and thing, when that changes, there goes the happiness out the window. Same with peace and joy. As long as things bring you happiness, joy, and peace, you will be miserable most of the time. For these things must change sooner or later. And there goes your happiness with it. Some people believe that this teaching will cure their ills, give them financial rewards, improve their relationships. It may, but that's not the point. We're not trying to improve our humanhood. If you wish to improve your humanhood, I have plenty of so-called science of mind classes, positive thinking courses. What we're trying to do here is to annihilate our humanhood. destroyed completely. It's our humanhood that causes the misunderstanding, the suffering. As long as we identify with the body, we have to suffer. This doesn't mean that by not identifying with the body, the world will become a bundle of joy. And there will ensue happiness and peace in the world. On the contrary, what this means is you'll acquire a new attitude. You will see things differently. When you begin to understand that you are the Self, and that you are an embodiment of love, and that your true nature is Satchitananda, Parabrahman, if you really feel that, and you ultimately become that, whatever you see will become a reflection of yourself. That's why you will be able to confess, the whole universe is the Self, and I am that. But until it happens to you, do not try to improve your affairs. That's like beating a dead horse. When you improve your affairs, you stay improved for a while, then something negative pops out somewhere else. Then you improve that. And then something negative pops up somewhere else. It's unceasing. It never ends. It's like you grow a tumor. And you go to an electric doctor and he says, well, I've got to cut it out. I'll give you local anesthetic and cut it off right here. So he does just that. Then a month later it grows back on the other side of your arm. And then he cuts that out. Goes back on your leg. He never got to the cause. You cannot destroy the effects and expect harmony. You've got to change the cause. And there's only one cause. And that is your erroneous belief that you are human. That you are the body and the mind. That is the only cause of your misery. Eliminate that and suffering will cease. So again, how do you eliminate that? By simply asking yourself, to whom does this come? Who's going through these karmas? And you will soon realize it's your ego, not you. Your ego has absolutely nothing to do with you. It is your ego that reincarnates. It is your ego that comes back again and again. But it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's like people being born and people dying in this space. People come and go every day very fast. Wait until the war in Iraq starts, then they'll really go. Then they'll come back again and go again. Never ends. Until you get tired of playing the game. And you say to yourself, wait a minute. I've been playing this game for eons. I die, I come back, and I die, and I come back, and I die, and I come back. I'm getting tired of it. What to do? when you finally ask that question, something will happen. You'll either grab the right book, meet the right teacher, hear the right words, but something will happen to you when you inquire, why do I have to keep playing these games? And soon you will ask, who is it that plays the game? Who's going through these reincarnations? Me? I am? Who is I am? Where did I come from? What gave it birth? Did I have a father and a mother to give it birth? How did it appear? And something will tell you it's like an optical illusion. Just as when I say to you, the sky is blue. In reality, there's no sky, there's no blue. There's only atmosphere. But if you look out the window, you see a beautiful blue sky. Yet we know it does not exist. If you are in the desert dying of thirst, you see a mirage. You see an oasis. And you run to drink the water, but it's a mirage. It doesn't exist. It's an optical illusion. The same is true of your eye. Your eye appears to exist, but it is non-existent. Your body appears to exist, but it's like moving pictures on the screen. Only the screen exists. The pictures that cover it are false. If you don't believe it, try to grab them and see what you grab. You grab the screen. So it is with your so-called life. It comes from false imagination. You are dreaming the mortal dream. You believe that you are a body. And you're going through many experiences. And you do as long as you have that belief. As soon as you drop that belief, reality ensues all by itself. Everything stops. The first feeling that you achieve is a feeling of immortality. You just know. You know that you were never born. And if you were never born, you can never die. You become aware of this. The second feeling is that you are omnipresent. You're not your little self, located in a body. There is no body. Nobody is home. You are free forever. Omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. You are everyone, everything, all existence. And yet you are nobody. You are like a mirror self-contained. And you project the universe. But you become aware that you are the mirror. And not the projection. Find yourself. Become true to yourself. How many more years do you have left? What are you doing with your life? How do you spend each day? What is more important to you than anything else? It begins in the morning when you first open your eyes. What do you think about first thing? What you should ask yourself as soon as you get up and say, what the hell am I doing here? That's a smart thing to say. Instead of thinking, I want a cup of coffee, I want a Danish, I have to go to work, I have to make my week's pay. Ask yourself, what the hell am I doing? What am I going through? Why? That is the first step. To be totally dissatisfied with your lot. As long as you're satisfied, you say, oh, I look good, I'm handsome, I'm pretty. And you spend 3 hours putting on makeup. Or bathing. Putting on fresh clothes every minute. Then you're feeding a dead horse. But when you realize you're going through all kinds of nonsense, and you've been going through nonsense all of your life, and you ask yourself, where do I go from here? The answers will come by themselves. Really. You will not need any teacher. The only reason you come here is because you're not doing it. If you were doing the right thing, why do you need me for? And so you begin to inquire. As soon as you open your eyes, what is this body? Who is it? Who am I? What am I all about? And then you remember, you say, I dreamt. I had a beautiful dream. And I also slept soundly. And now I am awake. But here's something funny you say. I was present during my sleeping state, during my dream state, and during my waking state. I was present because I say I slept. I dreamt and I am awake. What is this I? And again you follow through. Where did this I come from? That sleeps? Is present during sleep? Is present during dream state? And now I say, I am awake. Who is this I that does all this? What is its nature? What is its source? And you begin to be aware of your thoughts. You watch your mind as it goes through the motions of thinking, 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 thinking. Forever thinking. As if your thoughts were so important. You may say to me, well, if I don't think about my life, who's going to take care of me? I've got to think about my life. Does the tree that grows beautiful mangoes think about its life? And yet it grows luscious mangoes? Does the sun think, will I shine again tomorrow? Does the grass think, am I going to grow next week? There's a mysterious power that takes care of everything. Karmically, your body came to this earth to do something. It knows what to do without your help, thank you. It needs no help from you. By abiding on the eye, your body will take care of itself. Even better than you can ever do when you're thinking. So try not to think too much. But rather follow the eye thought. And when you follow to its source, you will be surprised how easy you wake up and you become free and emancipated. Sometimes I close my eyes, sometimes I don't. So for those of you who think I'm having some wonderful inner experiences, and that's why I close my eyes, forget it. I just close my eyes because they get tired. There are no experiences to get. You are the experience yourself. No, I've talked enough, so we'll have questions and answers, if you like. This is satsang, and I shouldn't be talking too much. Otherwise, I might become a philosopher.
But I have a question. As I'm listening to you talk, as I hear myself talk, it seems like there's a feeling I have to do an inquiry and I have to get to a goal. And I also notice all the, I guess you'd say, the thoughts and the reactions had that feeling of, yes, I've heard it before, yes, I agree with it, you know, yes, I familiar. And there's always this sense of something I have to do. Even the whole liberation thing seems like something I want to do.
Simply observe those thoughts. Do nothing about them. Since you realize that this is something you think you have to do, then do nothing. Just observe the thoughts. Let them come, let them go. And watch what happens. The whole idea is to quieten your mind. All of the sadness, all of the teachings on this earth is for one purpose, to quiet the mind. Once the mind is quiet, emancipation comes by itself. So simply observe your thoughts, let them rage, let them do what they want, and they will quieten by themselves. If you do not interfere, if you try to change them, they'll become stronger. Simply observe them, watch them, and leave them alone. They will dissipate all by themselves. Or if you get tired of doing that, ask yourself, to whom do they come? Do whatever you have to do. And if that doesn't work that day, take a cold shower. That'll do something.
I think for me the best thing is to send to whom you read about the time, because it always moves back to you and who am I. So it really involves only two questions when you're back in the self. At any time my thoughts stray while trying to start my mind up above, I try to be really to whom you read about the time when they come to me. Who is me? I. Who is I?
Yeah, that's good, but Richard's been doing that for years, apparently.
Yeah.
And he got silent. So do nothing.
I like to, what the hell am I doing here?
We've all said that.
Whatever you have to do.
I have a table, and I don't say, what the hell am I doing here?
Of the language, because
I wake up very often and say, am I still here?
That's good. I actually asked my mother this when I was about 13 years old. One day I woke up and went to her and I said, Mom, what am I doing here? And she took me to a doctor.
That sounds like a
situation, huh? Do you want to say something, Jay?
No.
There was something that you said when you were saying, coming, there is no self, one would be self-realized person. But then you said something along at the same time, you said there's no such thing as consciousness. Did you mean that, or did that just...
In the ultimate reality, there's nothing as we know it, as we conceive it. As long as you're able to voice it, it's false. As long as you're able to think about it, it does not exist. Reality is silence. Not words.
That is consciousness, isn't it?
Consciousness is a word that we use and keep on using it because it gives you something to work from. But in the ultimate reality, it does not exist.
How then does the notion of an I or a me arise in the first place? How does it come into being?
It's like an optical illusion. Have you ever been hypnotized?
No.
When you're hypnotized, you can be made to imagine anything. It's the same thing. It's mass hypnosis, collective hypnosis. We all believe that we are the I body.
Why does that occur?
It doesn't.
It appears to.
It appears to.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't.
Is it that consciousness is identifying with this body-mind organism?
No.
And therefore you get the notion that there is a separate me.
That's how it appears, but it's not true. Consciousness is undivided. Consciousness is self-contained. It appears to manifest as the universe.
Something identifies with the body-mind.
It's the mind.
There's no mind.
Well, you really wiped everything out.
We decided to touch
right.
That's what it's like.
I agree.
As long as there are words or concepts, it's not bad.
We're taught that, Henry.
Huh?
We're taught that.
Taught what?
That as you grow up, my little infant, you thought I, you know, it's like, where's your nose, where's your eye, where's your teeth, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Also known as the
comes to their mind that that passion isn't there like it used to be. And maybe there's no more need for it, or maybe it's a false sense of hope.
When you've arrived at that state, see if you ask the question. Because it'll just be gone. It's like you were in a dark room all your life, and you turn on the light. And now you're in light. The darkness dissipated. It's gone. Same thing. But the ignorance is dissolved, and you become yourself. It's no big thing.
What is the difference then in this kind of a realization and the kind of thing that people who practice Ashtanga yoga or mystical types of yoga and other things where whether they get realization or not, the ultimate realization, but they manifest and generate all kinds of spiritual energy.
The true Ashtanga yoga, the Eightfold Path, is merely to bring it to the place where the mind becomes quiescent.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes years and years and years.
And this path also takes...
This is a direct path.
Mm-hmm. And that is
it? No, it's indirect. In a path like this, you can become emancipated right now, if you want to. Just wake up. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it, just wake up.
When that occurs, does the individual, like individuals of other paths, generate all kinds of spiritual energy?
Why?
it's interesting to me, whether that's actually a...
So if you're generating spiritual energy, there has to be someone left to generate
to
energy.
That, yeah. So it's actually on a...
When there's no one left, there's no one to generate anything.
May I ask you something? After countless reincarnations and one meets a teacher, and yet the ultimate event of realizing the truth has not happened, even if the passion is lacking, is it something that will, of its own volition, happen anyway? Just a matter of a process unfolding?
I like to say we're all hellbound for heaven.
Say it again, please.
We're all hellbound for heaven.
Goody.
It's going to happen to all of us, whether we like it or not.
In other words, we're doomed to self-realization.
Exactly.
I have come to this conclusion, but I think sometimes I've done myself a great disservice.
The strange part of that seems to be that I'm in a recurring dream, and I keep coming to rooms like that. Now I'm starting to see the same faces, and everybody's still getting promised the direct path, but nobody seems to be waking up, you know. And there's a beauty in that, in a sense, too, you know, that the dream goes on in its own accord in a way that's not real. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. There are people that wake up, but you haven't met them.
It seems that there are people who wake up who don't ask to be awakened, who it just happens spontaneously. Exactly. They've just arrived at some point. Even though there's nothing going on, there is, even in the illusory sense, there's something going on that propels it to happen. There's
it'll
a causation
happen.
That seems to be even within the void. Or so, I don't know, it's hard to...
It's just a question of letting go. Let go of everything. Ask yourself, what am I holding on to? As long as you're holding on to something, person, place, or thing, you're earthbound.
And that sense of individuation.
As soon as you let go totally, you're free.
Why is it so hard?
For whom is it hard?
The one who is bound.
Who is that? So never put yourself down. Your real self is not bound. And you are your real self. Identify with the real self. Forget about the past. Instead, be centered. Live in the now. And identify with reality.
Thank you.
It's an alpha man.
What sort of existence does one lead when that realization has taken place? Isn't existence as we ordinarily experience it, and we acknowledge that another person exists, but we may not know their inner state?
Do they
still have they're still experiencing karma? They still have obligations in the world?
There's no karma for a yoni. But the body will do what it has to do.
Right.
But the yoni will not be aware of it.
There's no identification with whatever is going on in that.
The yoni sees a completely different world.
And the yoni is not aware of the body doing what it has to do?
Exactly.
Didn't you say at one point that you're sort of aware of the observational
thing? You like the screen.
Yeah.
The movie is shown on the screen. The screen is just there. And people are getting killed in the movie, people are getting born, people grow old, all kinds of things are happening, wars, man and humanity to man. It's all happening on the screen. But the screen is never affected. I realize I am the screen. And these are projections.
But you see the projection of what we call boundaries.
Yes.
You are aware as a screen of the image on the
screen. I identify with the screen.
Is that Sahar Samadhi? Kind of
yes.
Like a working nirvana?
Yes,
nirvana?
It is. Yes.
I keep wondering. Wondered this before, I never got an answer. Who thought this whole scheme up? This whole scheme?
You did.
No, you didn't.
I don't think I did.
No. In reality, there's no scheme, and nobody thought it up. It doesn't exist.
But it did happen, though.
No, it didn't.
So who's dreaming?
Nobody. There is no dream. It's an appearance.
You mean what we call the cosmic dream?
Who's the author of the appearance? Then?
There is no appearance and there's no author.
What am I doing? Who am I?
Yes.
You're on the right track.
Far enough.
It appears to be an appearance.
Nothing like wiping out the universe completely.
Always use the example, the sky is blue. When you go outside and look at the sky, it's a beautiful blue sky. But if you go up there, there's no sky. There's no blue.
To human beings, there seems to be a consensus that it is, but it, although it may not, it isn't really, but in the way our perceptions have been set up, we all have an agreement among these illusions that that it's blue, although I know it. It's just what you said.
It's a collective dream.
A collective
dream.
Okay.
Wake up.
Collective.
Step out of the dream. Wake up.
Why is it said that one who has awakened has an obligation to go back and awaken others? What difference does it make?
It isn't true. You're speaking of Buddhism.
Well, even in the Bodhisattva yoga, the traditions say, go back for the sake of humanity as they take time out.
Who tells you that?
Who can go back?
Well, you can go back if you want to, but who tells you that?
I understood that that was part of the initiation rite for Swamihood.
No, that's in Swamihood, yes, that's true for Swamihood. If you want to be a Swami, go ahead.
I see. But the Swami's goal is not self-realization, isn't it?
It is, but in a roundabout way. The whole idea is, if you want to save the world, become self-realized. For you become omnipresent. And you become the world. So if you become realized, then your world is also realized.
I understand it intellectually.
On this path there is no desire to cause.
Do we all appear realized to you?
Of course.
You see perfectly clear that we're fully awake.
Everyone is.
So, why are we pretending otherwise?
Who said you are?
I didn't.
Then you're not.
What?
Then you're not.
Numerous near-death experiences that are starting to bubble up in the media are kind of like a tear in the illusion or a peek through the illusion.
Not really. It's a bigger illusion. It creates a vast illusion. And incorporates all kinds of things.
But it does allow people to think more beyond, you know, the finite.
Well, like it says in the Upanishads, once you start playing around with the occult, you can be stuck for thousands of incarnations before you become free.
Robert has explained to us in the past that the astral planes are all relative and the causal, etc., but they are all part of the cosmic dream or Maya or illusion.
Robert, you spoke about quieting the mind, and I noticed that it seems the mind has gotten quiet, but the awareness of that seems to be the same as when the mind is very agitated. I can distinctly feel that.
Don't pay any attention
to
the agitation or the quietness.
So whether what the state of the mind is, don't pay any attention.
Don't pay any attention whatsoever.
It's better to focus just on the awareness of that.
Exactly. Let the mind take care of itself. It gives you trouble, take care of, get you out of trouble. When you don't interfere. It's like when you have a friend. And if you don't interfere in your friend's life and you leave him alone or she alone, what does your friend do? He leaves you. Because you're not interfering in their life, you have nothing to do with them. When you have nothing to do with your friend, it'll go away. So when you have nothing to do with your mind, it'll dissipate. Act like you don't own it. It's not yours.
May I ask you something about, you said you were asking your mother a question about what am I doing here, so obviously you were very precocious in this regard. What's the thing about, maybe I'm asking something that everyone's heard 20 times, I hope I won't bore other people, but I'd love to know something about your own experience.
Well, not at this time. I've done it so often.
All right. I respect that.
Because what good is that to you, really?
It doesn't.
It's just an interesting story.
Yeah.
And you've heard many stories. You get right to the meat of the product. Go within yourself and become free. It really makes no difference what I've been through.
You were with Ramana Maharshi for 3 years, is that correct?
The last 3 years of his life.
Oh, wonderful. He really left out.
Sorry.
Literally. Well, it was then.
It wasn't my fault.
I won't blame you. It wasn't your fault.
It just happened.
Yeah,
I'm not going to ask anything personal, but I'm also curious about a little child asking his mother or her mother, what am I doing here? I know kids ask a lot of questions, but is it possible for young children of 3, 4, 5 or even younger to be in a realized
state? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Can you lose it when you gain it?
If you can't, you can never lose it. If it's the real thing. If it's the real thing, you can never lose it.
Is it then advisable to promote or encourage children to inquire within self?
It's advisable, but it won't necessarily happen. And it has to do with the karma of the children. I know children who have been with spiritual parents for years, and they become wild.
They reject the problem, the opposite of
creature son. Exactly. It all has to do with their karma. Mm-hmm. Nothing on this path is predictable.
If you feel like you have it as a young child, maybe if it's not within the acceptance of the people around you or the culture, you could put your real self, kind of bury it until one time, periodically it emerges. But in other words, you just don't feel all the time.
Not really, because if you have that feeling within, you manifest it in your doings. That's what happened to me. I was always worried. Worried.
Weird? As you said, aware or weird?
Weird.
Weirdly aware.
I was aware at a very early age that this world is an act of play. It isn't real. And I used to wonder at why people couldn't see that. I stopped when I got smart.
Did you see pain that way?
Yeah.
Did you see physical pain and psychological pain that way also?
In a way, yes. I thought everybody felt the same thing. But what was I to know?
But you were realizing.
Who knows?
What happened to that sense of unreality? Did it deepen, or was there, because I feel that all the time, that this is totally unreal. The world is totally unreal, but nothing, I've never been realized. It just feels unreal.
What makes you think you're unrealized?
Yeah.
I never put yourself down. That's a true blasphemy. Blasphemy means when you put yourself down. Never do that.
I've never had an experience that has allowed me to have complete trust in myself.
And you probably don't remember. We've all had experiences, but we don't remember, we forget. It's like the clouds hiding the sun. And ignorant people say, there's no sun. But the sun is always shining. And when the clouds dissipate, there's the sun. Our true self is always aware. It's always there. But the clouds of ignorance appear to cover it up. All we have to do is look back on our true self, and the clouds will dissipate.
Hmm. Well, you make that real simple. New.
I had a similar experience that Ed was saying about relying on the self and believing in the self. And I used to be curious about myself, and at one time following a guru, or another time trusting in myself, and then not trusting in myself, and not knowing what was real. Where is the truth? Is it within myself? Is it off inside of myself, or I need to get initiated, this or that. And, finally I had to confront myself. It was very dramatic for me. And it was kind of an internal quest. I suppose it was a type of self-inquiry without realizing it. And I basically had gone from not believing in myself, not trusting in myself, to concluding that, in a sense, that self is all there is. And I found some comfort when I was reading the Buddhist Dhammapada, where it says that the self is the lord of self. The self is the refuge of the self. You can only come to the self through the self. And I meditated on that, and then I thought about teachers and this and that. And I realized, as Robert is saying, self, that to put down the self is blasphemy. And according to this teaching, it's not that you rely on a teacher, but if you rely on yourself, you are your own teacher. Robert says he can take you to the mind, but you've got to do your own digging. That we are the self, and that we can only find the self through ourself, not to be dependent on the teacher or a teaching, but your own consciousness, right here, right now. To identify with that. I think sometimes in satsang we get lost in so many different things, in love or devotion or this or that, and we never grasp the present moment. That present moment is the self. In that present moment, Robert says, find it, then abide it, and then follow it to its source. It's not something that we don't have. It's right here, right now. Just grasp that, find that. And I think in doing that, you have to let the mind go. You have to let everything go. It's just a let go to grasp.
You're in it, you exist in it. You are the present moment. But to stay there, I'm not going to the past or the present or the future. Just to stay the way you are. You'll always be safe if you can do that. As an example, in this second, you have no thoughts about the past or the future. But as the seconds go, you start thinking. If you can keep your mind centered on the second, where there are no thoughts, you'll be safe. And that space in between thoughts. From one thought to the next thought, there's a break. Stay in the break. Abide in the break.
It seems like as long as there's no effort, I'm abiding in the break. And as soon as I try, that's where I'm out of it.
You're not supposed to try. Just be. We have a meditation we use to help us. And I simply share this with you because it helps. In reality, you don't have to meditate, but this will help you. And you should practice this wherever you go, when you're driving your car, first thing in getting up in the morning. Well, don't do it when you're driving your car. You can use the last part when driving your car. So we'll practice it right now. Relax yourself, make yourself comfortable. If you want to, you can close your eyes. Focus your attention on your breath. Emphasize your breathing. Breathe from your diaphragm. Inhale deeply, slowly and gently. Expand your abdominals. Exhale through your nose and mouth. Contract your abdominals in slow motion. Take 10 deep breaths like that. This is to relax you. Breathe naturally. And just watch your breathing. Watch the sensations in your body. This is called Vipassana meditation in the beginning. Become aware of your sensations and your breath. Breathe normally. If your mind wanders, gently bring it back. To your feelings. Witness your thoughts, do not interfere with them, just watch. Question. Who is the witness? Who is watching? Who is it that is watching my thoughts? And the answer will be, I am. Now the meditation begins. You ask yourself, who am I? As you inhale. Before you exhale, you say, I am He. And with your exhalation, you say, I am not the body. Who am I? As you inhale. Between exhalation and inhaling, I am He. As you exhale, I am not the body. Thank you for coming. Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself, to worship yourself, because God dwells in you as you. Peace. And that's the end of that.